I'm not going to say anything about my wireless mic this week. We discovered that it works every day of the week except Sunday. We have tested, it is not, apparently it's not me, although I'm, well, it might be. We haven't figured it out, so anyway, I'm going to try to stay in front of this, which is going to be awkward. I haven't used one of these except, well, last week. I just don't use them very often, so if you can't hear me, just yell and I'll stand back in front of this. Have you ever had one of those bugs that kind of buzzes around your head? This is what it feels like, and I just want to swat it every once in a while, but I promise I won't. I'm glad you're here. If you're watching online, we're really glad you're here, too. You know, we've done this at the movies for a long, long time, and we've really enjoyed it. We try to treat the movies like Jesus did when he told parables or used analogies. Try to take something that people are fairly familiar with and look and see what it can illustrate. It could be something direct or it could be something indirect. 2020 was a little different. Very few people went to movie theaters, but a lot of people streamed. Netflix, if you invested in Netflix, you did really, really well. They grew massively, but there are also other platforms that showed up. Disney, Apple, a bunch of folks decided we got to get in on this. And so a lot of us have been watching, streaming old things, streaming new things, and so we decided to pick three for this On the Couch series. Next week will be WandaVision. The week after that will be The Mandalorian. We're using Ted Lasso this week. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with it. It is on Apple TV Plus, so you have to pay for it. But it has really surprised people, including the people that are in it. It's basically the story of an American football coach brought in to coach a true football team, which is soccer. He's brought in basically to see it fail. The only one that doesn't realize that that's going to happen is the coach himself. He is terminally optimistic, and for all kind of reasons, if you watch it, it strikes you as so odd that this guy would be as optimistic and positive as he is, even with things in his own life that aren't all together. I'm going to give a disclaimer, and I'll explain it in a few minutes, that I don't recommend this as a family show. And there'll be people that are going to call me prudish and all this kind of stuff afterwards. I'll explain it later. I think there's a lot you can learn from it. It's just a fascinating show. Ted Lasso's ability to win over the critics that didn't think this show would amount to anything is similar to what he did on TV or in the TV show when he won over the critics in London that thought this guy was a rube and never should have been there. The whole premise of this thing started off in 2012 as just a short-run commercial for Premier League Soccer on NBC. Jason Sudeikis from SNL plays this guy, and it was just designed to be a kind of a one-off commercial thing. But after doing it and getting some feedback, Sudeikis and others thought this could become a series. So they started spending a lot of time on it. And so in 2020, it launched, and no one expected what it would do. It was nominated for more awards than any other show in 2020. It won 23 awards, including these. Golden Globe for Best Comedy Actor, and also Screen Actors Guild, Critics' Choice, American Film Institute for Best Actor, Best Comedy. And then it won something that's unusual, and that's a Peabody Award. Peabody Awards have been around since 1940, and they try to honor the most powerful and enlightening shows around. So this is what the jury for the Peabody said. Quote, it turns out that more than simply a sports coach, Ted is remarkably good at honest communication with others, affecting change by being a deeply good human being, one with his own quiet anxieties and pain. Indeed, much of the personal transformation in the characters and their extended relationships occurs through this, the ripple effect of Ted's radiant optimism and intensely sincere, if folksy, goodwill. When's the last time anything was described that way on TV or a movie? I mean, it's really unusual. The influence of this show has been felt all over the place. Critics that wanted to pan it couldn't And you'll if you just Google it, you'll find all kind of critics that say, you know, I'm trying to channel my inner Ted Lasso, or I've learned so many things, I can't make excuses anymore. Even Sudeikis has said, I'm trying to live up to the image I've created on my show. You've got sports teams that are now, the coaches are changing how they work with their players as a result of it. Business schools are using Ted Lasso to teach lessons. It's really fascinating. It's tapped into something that resonates with a lot of people beyond entertainment. It's been inspiring. Simply put, Ted Lasso is the kindest person in his TV world. And they're doing the second series right now. I'm going to give you an example here. There's a situation that had happened in any other coach. If it had a player that had done this, either would have benched the guy or punted him. Do you punt in soccer? Well, he would have channeled his inner American football, would have gotten rid of him. The guy was ineffective. He was distracted. But in this clip, you'll see it real quickly, is that Ted gently and kindly uses the situation as a teaching opportunity for this player. So here's the goldfish clip.
Hey, Sam, come here a sec.
Coach, I'm sorry.
You know what the happiest animal on earth is? It's a goldfish. You know why?
No.
Got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish, Sam. Yeah?
It's full of these things, and you just don't expect it. The players don't expect it, and when he does these interviews with the reporters, they don't expect it. I mean, he turns everybody on their ear with just kind of this simple, folksy kind of stuff, but it comes across as super genuine. He's not trying to use people. So he's the kindest person in his TV world. Well, let me switch that. You and I, as followers of Jesus, should be the most loving, patient, kind, gentle, and good people in the real world. We ought to be known as the kindest people in our circles of influence. And I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't our reputation. Our reputation right now is we mirror the same attitudes of the world around us. We're more like chameleons. Well, actually, we're chameleons rather than goldfish. And we need to figure out, how can I learn to be kind? And I'm going to repeat it one more time. Followers of Jesus should be the most of anybody around, the most loving, patient, kind, gentle, and good people in the real world. If you disagree with me, you can catch me after the service, but I'm going to build my point. God's intent for you and me, in the world we live in, and believe it, this is not the worst the world's ever been, regardless of what news source you have. The world's been screwed up for a long time, actually ever since the first two people inhabited it. But God's intent is that we become people that are like Jesus in our attitude and our character and how we relate to others. And he's provided all we need to do it. I'm going to repeat this one again. God's intent is that we become people that are like Jesus, and he's provided all we need to do it. I'm going to give you a verse to memorize, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, the moment someone becomes a follower of Jesus, they have been given not just a new mandate, they've been given the resources to live a brand new life. It's not religion, it's a relationship. It's not just a code of ethics, it's a new way of living from the inside out. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And if you're thinking, well, I don't think I got any of those, the last one is self-control. There is no law against these things. You and I, the moment we accepted Jesus, we were given the opportunity to live brand new lives, and we've been given the capacity to develop these qualities in our lives. And to the degree that we are developing, we're showing that we really do understand who Jesus is and what he deserves and what he's provided. To the degree we make excuses to not live these out, we're either calling God a liar or we're saying, don't count me in. So a couple of these words, the word love, it just means genuinely working to help other people, to put their needs above my own. being patient. This word, particular word patient, means to hang in there with people, especially people that are difficult to be around. Kind means gracious, empathetic, courteous. Where did that go? Gentle. It comes from the word humble, and it means using our strength and our power and ability to do good for others. Not for self-service, but other service. Then this idea of good is just doing what is good in God's sight. What does God say is good? You know, too many times what we do is we measure goodness by what's going on around us. And as long as I'm doing a little better than the people around me, I think I'm okay. That's not the standard. Remember, this is God's Holy Spirit. And I understand holiness by looking at Jesus. And then self-control. Self-control means I have a choice I can make, and it's choosing to live these qualities in my life as a way of saying, God, thank you for all you've done for me. And may I live in such a way that others might see you through me. Imperfectly, sure. But along the way, see something that they might want to be a part of. You know, Ted Lasso, the longer people around him, the more they want to be like him. That should be what it is in the real world for you and me. A couple of things I want to point out about this. One is we should be humble, but not foolish or naive. Sometimes we get the idea of humble means I'm a doormat. And that's not what the Bible teaches at all. Jesus was extremely humble. But he was also very aware of what was going on. We should be strong, not weak or wimpy. There's a godly kind of strength that we should have. And not just be pushovers, not just be easily pushed aside. Sometimes this idea of following Jesus and being the kind of person he wants me to be means I stand strong and I may take on some enemies in the process. We should be truthful and not merely people pleasers. This is so common around us. Some of you have been on family vacations this year. And you chose to not say some things that you should have said so you could just kind of go along to get along. Sometimes you need to let things go. I get that. That's where the goldfish thing comes in handy. Well, 10 seconds from now, maybe I'll forget what they just said. But there's this idea that kindness and the kind of quality God wants you and I to have is not weak. It stands strong. It's aware of what's going on, but it's not looking to pick a fight or to prove a point. It's trying to represent Jesus in whatever context we're in. So I want you to watch this next clip and see if I can set it up okay. So the deal with Ted Lasso is he's been brought in to oversee the demise of a team. The husband and wife had been the owners. They divorced. The husband's a jackal. His wife, she wants to spite him, and there's just all kind of mess going on. It's full of all kind of stuff that would keep counselors busy for decades. Ted figures this out. He knows that he's figured out the husband. I mean, he genuinely likes to believe the best in people, but he realizes this guy is up to no good. And he really does care about the team and the players, cares about the owner who was that husband's ex-wife. And he also knows that this guy's has started all kind of rumors about Ted and stuff in the paper and trying to make him look like an idiot. So in this scene, they're at a bar. There's a dart thing going on. And the owner's ex-husband has been trying to poke fun at Ted. And Ted decides that there are a couple things he can do here. One is he wants to set things straight. He wants to protect the image of the team and his boss, who was the lady in the scene. And he decides to do it in a way that is so... He doesn't channel his inner Chuck Norris to do this. He comes up with a way that lets the other guy kind of cook his own goose. And as you watch it, it's masterful. It's a way of how you can be kind and humble and all this without being weak, without stepping away from things where you need to enter in. So I want you to watch this and see what we can learn from it.
Mate, what do I need to win?
2 triple 20s and a bullseye.
Good luck. Mm. You know, Rupert, guys have underestimated me my entire life. And for years, I never understood why. It used to really bother me. But then one day, I was driving my little boy to school, and I saw this quote by Walt Whitman. It was
painted on the wall there. It said, be curious, not judgmental. And I like that. So I get back in my car and I'm driving to work. And all of a sudden it hits me. All them fellas that used to belittle me, not a single one of them were curious. You know, they thought they had everything all figured out. And so they judged everything and they judged everyone. And I realized that they're underestimating me. Who I was had nothing to do with it. Because if they were curious, they would ask questions. You know? Questions like, have you played a lot of darts, Ted? Which I would have answered, yes, sir. Every Sunday afternoon at a sports bar with my father from age 10 until I was 16 when he passed away. Barbecue sauce.
I love that clip. He wasn't ugly. He wasn't mean. He didn't return what had been given to him over and over and over again. He did seem to enjoy putting that guy in his place, so let's give him a little bit of credit there. But you know, in our culture right now, there is such a lack of kindness or grace or respect. Somehow we trashed it. And I'd like to say that's just people outside of the church, but I watch enough, I read enough, I hear enough. The Jesus church has, in many cases, slid into the same kind of tactics that everyone else uses. We should be different. We should be living this out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If God is true, if His word is true, we've been given the capacity to develop these in our lives. And I think it's interesting that a show like this gives us kind of a glimpse of it in a way that's kind of surprised a lot of people. We have a mantra that we try to use here at New Hope, and that is to treat people in a way where we believe the best and we inspect the rest. The default is, I'm going to believe the best in you. If you were late for a meeting or you didn't do what was asked, or I'm going to believe the best, and if I can't get past that, then I'll come and find out directly from you. Can you imagine what would happen in our homes if we did that? Neighborhood or our work? Where we just had a little bit of kindness, and we treated people the way that we would like ourselves to be treated. Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. And then it says, add up God's law and the prophets. In other words, add up all that's written in the Bible, and this is what you get. Our duty from God and how we treat others is to treat them the way we want to be treated. We've got work to do. And I hope that sometime today, or this week, you'll join me in just spending some time and looking at that list of qualities that God says He's given us the capacity to build in our lives. And look and see which ones are doing well and which ones really need some work. Be great to do as a family, to do as a group, and I just tell you, we never outgrow these things. So now I want to go to my disclaimer and why I really don't believe this is something to be shown to families. And again, I may be prudish, I'm old, I get that, but there's still some things that I think we should be careful with. In the Ted Lasso show, it is full of all kind of foul language and innuendos, except for Ted. Now, the interesting thing is Ted stands out so significantly in his kindness, but also just that he doesn't take the path of least resistance, which is foul and coarse language. I really don't think that any of us need to be exposed to it, but I really don't think our children should. I think they ought to be given a different kind of model, and at a time when they're around it. Like one of my rules is I wouldn't want to watch this show with my mom. Now, she's got Alzheimer's, and she doesn't pick up much anymore. But it used to be their TV commercials I hated watching with my mom. I'd go, oh, great, Scott, she's going to ask me a question. When I was a brand new Christian, I had had a reputation of being pretty gross and crude. In fact, my dad came to visit me my first year in college, and some guys put up a huge sign in the hall that I can't quote it. Anyway, Rusty Corm is a gross blank. So my dad would see it, and I thought it was funny. I'm not sure what Dad thought, because he never told me anything about his feelings, so we passed that. And when I became a follower of Jesus, one of the things I realized is I can't show up at these meetings and use the language I normally do, so I'm going to have to do something quick. And so I replaced all curse words with vegetables. And, you know, after you start saying broccoli or asparagus, you know, you say, after a while you feel like an idiot, so you just change. You know, we do have self-control. We like to say we don't, but the truth is we do. Kindness, according to what I believe the Bible teaches, it resists the temptation to be crude, cruel, or in some ways kind of cool in our culture, especially at the expense of others. Some of us, we love using foul language. We love putting people in their place. We love expressing things in a way to get a little bit of shock. But that's pretty, I would say that's kind of a sign of weakness. Some of the best comedians I've ever heard were not dirty comedians. They were very funny, but they didn't resort to the cheap humor. Listen to what Ephesians 4 tells us. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let me repeat that one. I think it's fairly clear. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't times when correction is needed. And you can even use good, encouraging words to correct someone and encourage them to go a different path. That's what Ted did in the dart contest. He was basically saying, Rupert, if you had done your homework, you might not have challenged me in darts. If you had been a little more curious and less judgmental, things could have turned out better. Everyone in the bar heard that. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. So we saw earlier about what the Holy Spirit is trying to build in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But if I'm not building that, I can bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Therefore, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Starting in our homes, this idea of being tender and kind and forgiving, our homes ought to be a place, ought to be an oven where this is baked all the time. Where you work, in your neighborhood, extended family, places where you shop, there ought to be this attitude, this kind of kindness that when people around us, they get a little bit of taste of what it would be like to be with Jesus. Anything less than that really dishonors our Heavenly Father. And none of us have this fully together, but it's something we should be working on. And just out of utter gratitude that he rescued us, he saved us, he's given us his brand new life, we get to live this way. And you're going to say, I know, you're going to say, well, that person posted this about me, or I don't like what they're doing. Okay. Does that give us an excuse to be unkind, disrespectful, unwilling to try to build some kind of relationship wherever it's possible in hopes that they might see Jesus in us and be challenged to accept him too? We've lost something, but we can reclaim it. I will give an alternative to Ted Lasso, and again, this is going to elicit laughs, and you're going to think, man, this guy, he really is antique. The Andy Griffith Show. If you haven't seen it in a while, you ought to. Well, they don't even have iPads in there. They're never on Facebook. He never uses a computer. And my answer to that is, so what? Do you know human nature hasn't changed? We're still the same. And if you want something that you can watch without being embarrassed to be with your mom or your kids, it's a great show. My dad, before he passed, there was a particular news station he watched a lot. And we just ended up nicknaming it the Yelling Channel. You can figure out whatever one you want. There's a bunch of them that do this. My mom, in her Alzheimer's, was really struggling. She couldn't pick up what was going on, but she could pick up attitudes. And there were a bunch of times when I would be at the house visiting them, and mom would be on the couch just nervous, looking out the window. She had sundowners, but she had other things going on. And I realized it was because she heard all these people angry and yelling. She didn't know what they were angry about, but she thought maybe it's about me, or maybe the world's about to blow up, or what's going to happen. And I just told Dad, I said, Pop, you need to change the channel. It's really upsetting Mom. And we found Andy of Mayberry. She started watching Andy Griffith and Barney Fife. She still didn't know what was going on, but they smiled. They worked through things, and she could pick up an attitude in that really calmed her down, visibly calmed her down. I think some of us are worked up because all we feed on is stuff that works us up. You need to be aware of what's happening in the world, and there's a lot of stuff going on that's not good. We need to be apprised of that, but we don't have to constantly have a diet of it. Some of you have got your TVs on news all the time, and people around you and your kids and others are watching it, and it's having an impact on them in a negative way. Just be careful. It's not an either or. But I'll tell you, for my money, Andy Griffith's show, and you get to see, who's the guy? Who's the little kid in there? Opie? Ron Howard, you get to see him with hair. It's a bonus. Anyway, so that's just my plug for maybe next year we'll do oldies but goodies. I don't know. Probably I'll get voted down on that one. The take-home sheet will really help you go further with this and to do some personal just checking. What is my kindness factor like? What is it like for others to be around me? What are they picking up? And let's decide together that we want them to pick up something about Jesus more than anything else. Let's pray. God, you have all kind of ways to catch our attention. And in the case of this commercial that became a show, you've helped a number of people see the power of just kindness. But beyond that, there is no one kinder than you. There's no one that has treated us with the kind of dignity and love that you have. In a world that in so many ways has turned their back on you, to the point where they wanted to do away with your son, you continually offer forgiveness and grace. And those of us that know you, we've tasted it. We understand what it's like to have the record clean. I pray that you would instill in us a genuine desire to reflect you in every relationship we have, to not fake it, not pretend, but to ask you by your Holy Spirit to help us to develop the qualities that you have given us access to if we will just tap into them. Where we'll be people that will be recognized as people that love, people with joy and peace, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. The world needs to see that. And when it sees it in us, it will draw people to you. Stir us up. For the name of your Son and for his sake. Amen.